Hello, this is Steve Malanga, senior editor at City Journal, and I'm here with Christian Snyder, senior fellow at the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. And we're here to discuss his City Journal article, It's Working in Wisconsin. Now, if you've been following what's been going on in the last year in Wisconsin, and it's pretty hard not to, you know that that's probably a reference to the changes made by Governor Scott Walker, the controversial changes. And Christian's article explores these changes in really their first 6 months in effect. So let's start, Christian, with the basics, because not everyone probably remembers precisely what Wisconsin enacted under Walker. So what exactly were the fundamental changes that created so much controversy and that are now actually law in Wisconsin?
Well, what Governor Walker did was to require greater health care and pension benefit contributions from both state and local government. Up until that point, state and local government employees actually put nothing towards their own pension benefits. So what he did was to require that they put half their contribution, which is about 10% per year, so he required half that, about 5%, go towards their own pension account. And, of course, that's money that they'll be getting back eventually. He also required a greater health benefit, which was contribution, up to about 12.6% of their monthly premium. So that's what state employees, and that was about twice what they had been paying, but it's still well below what the private sector pays, which is, I believe, about 25%. So that's what he did on that front. But you know, the most controversial part of what he did was to drastically reduce collective bargaining for state and local employees, and that really is kind of what set the whole state off.
Now, in your piece, you actually have a union official, quote, a union official saying that we will not be denied our God-given right. What exactly is the history of collective bargaining? Is it in the Bible somewhere?
God-given right. Yeah, apparently God showed up in Wisconsin in 1959, because that's when Gaylord Nelson, a Democrat, was elected governor. And the Democrats virtually disappeared in Wisconsin in the early half of the 20th century. All the progressives had joined the Republican Party, so there really was no need for Democrats. But the Democrats started making a comeback in 1954. Bill Proxmire ran for governor, who was a Democrat, and the unions financed about 55% of his campaign that year. Finally, in 1958, Gaylord Nelson was elected, and the first thing that he did was to allow unions collective bargaining, the ability to collective bargain in government. Within a couple of years, the Democratic Party had a $10,000 deficit when Nelson took over. Within a couple of years, that turned into a $50,000 surplus, because the unions then had the ability to contribute to the Democratic Party, and that's how it came about. So, you know, it looked a lot less like a fundamental God-given human right at the time, and more kind of like a naked political opportunity for the Democrats.
Now, obviously the title of your piece suggests that local governments are already making changes. And indeed, if you followed Walker's rationale for his reforms, he says quite specifically that this is not merely about state government, but is especially about local government, which in America we consider to be towns, cities, and school districts. So talk a little bit about, we're only really through one budget cycle, and actually only half a budget cycle, but talk a little bit about some of the things that local governments are doing out there and some of the ways that they're saving money in the wake of these particular reforms.
Well, one of the main reforms that's taking place is through union contracts. Most of the school districts in the state were insured by a WIA trust, which is a health insurance company actually owned and affiliated with the state teachers union. And there's kind of a long history of how that came to be. But so now that there is essentially no collective bargaining, what school districts are able to do is take their health insurance and kind of throw it out on the open market, and competition is actually playing a role in how they buy health care. So, well, a lot of the school districts that have WIA Trust are now switching to lower cost health insurance plans, which are saving them money. And in some cases, what we've seen is if they inject competition into buying health insurance, WIA Trust will actually lower their rates to become more competitive, which makes you think, you know, for the decades that WIA Trust has been insuring these school districts, they've been, you know, taking taxpayers for a ride, inflating their rates because there was no competition. So, you know, we're starting to figure out that the teachers union owned health insurance company can actually provide it for a lot cheaper than it has been. So, and that's one of the main ways that school districts have been saving money. You know, there are other ways where teachers who retire are able to be brought back for a lower salary part time, so they can still kind of keep their jobs but work for cheaper. You know, those are some of the ways that school districts are able to save money through what Scott Walker did.
Right now, Scott Walker's opponent in the gubernatorial election was, in fact, the Milwaukee mayor, who, not surprisingly, opposed some of Walker's reforms after Walker was elected. But he's saving money, too, employing Walker's reforms. Am I correct?
Yes, that's absolutely right. In fact, the city of Milwaukee is actually going to come out about $10 million ahead of where they were because of Walker's reforms. And it's, you know, it's funny. That's Tom Barrett, who's the mayor of Milwaukee, who ran against Scott Walker in 2010. And he's actually being rumored as a candidate to run against Scott Walker in the recall elections. But, you know, it's Tom Barrett who was able to balance his own budget because of the tools that Scott Walker gave him in the city of Milwaukee. But apparently now he's thinking about turning around and running against Scott Walker.
So you brought up the recall election. Now let's go over some of that ground with folks. The unions have qualified or are in the process of qualifying, which means getting enough signatures to force a recall election and presumably rescind many of these changes that Walker made. Where are we in the process now? By now, we're basically talking about the beginning of 2012, just to sort of situate this for people who might be listening to this over the next couple of weeks.
Right around January 15th, the signatures are due. The unions need to collect about 540,000 signatures in order to force a recall election. They held a press conference a few weeks ago saying that they had about 507,000 signatures, something like that. So I believe that they are going to have more than enough signatures that they need. There's some questions about the validity of signatures and how they're counted, and, you know, whether somebody signs Mickey Mouse to a recall petition, whether that would count or not.
He's a popular signatory in a lot of places where they have initiatives. California is another place.
right. Yeah. Well, the State Government Accountability Board said all signatures will be given the presumption of validity, and then Scott Walker has 10 days to challenge the validity of those signatures.
Right,
so
right.
If somebody signs Adolf Hitler or Steve Malanga or whatever, it's going to be up to Scott Walker to enter all those into a database in 10 days and challenge them in order for them not
right.
to count. So
just to clarify, right, Mickey Mouse is, in fact, a citizen of California, so I wouldn't want to deprive him of his rights in California. But go ahead. I'm sorry I cut you off. Continue.
Well, no, but we saw a referendum in Ohio where Governor Kasich's collective bargaining changes were voted down by the voters of Ohio, and they needed about 220,000 signatures. The unions were actually able to get about 1.3 million, but 25% of those, a full, 350,000 signatures were knocked off as being invalid. So it's going to be quite a challenge when the time comes to see whether these signatures are actually going to be valid.
So I presume that one of the things that will happen is that the unions will wage a campaign saying that Walker denied us of our rights, our God-given rights, and Walker will say, our reforms are working, and that this will be the battle or the debate. I mean, how do you see that playing out in terms of sentiment in Wisconsin?
The thing is, our organization does a good deal of polling, and the public actually seems to be not entirely against what Walker has actually done. I mean, they look at the state of the schools even after Walker's changes, and about 70% say the schools are either better or exactly the same as they were before. So I think Walker's challenge is to get credit for the things that he's actually done. Now, on the other hand, when it actually comes to an election, what we found is during the elections of last year when six Republican state senators were up for recall, the unions collected the signatures to try to get them recalled for supporting Scott Walker's bill. During that election, the unions did not run at all on the collective bargaining issue. They ran on Scott Walker's cutting aid to schools. He's kicking off people off Medicare, Medicaid, and all those types of things. So I think the unions recognize that the whole collective bargaining issue isn't the big winner that they thought. So when they run these recall elections, they kind of run away from that issue, and it really looks more like a standard type of election than any other year.
Okay, well, one thing is for sure, 2012 is going to be a very interesting year in Wisconsin.
We've got a lot going on here.
Yes, this is Steve Malanga from the City Journal, and I've been talking with Christian Snyder of the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. And to read the complete version of his article in the current issue of City Journal called It's Working Wisconsin, go to www.city-journal.org. Thank you, Christian.
Yeah, thanks for having me.